So we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. If you all stand, please, and face the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we'll get right to the action items. Baseball schedule request.
Want me to stand, I guess?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, being a new coach at the high school, one of the challenges I get to face is putting together the schedule. So as I looked at that, I guess what I propose tonight is a request to change venues, out-of-state venues. We've been going out-of-state for the last several years to Montrose, Colorado, as long as I can remember. I don't know when that change was made, but it's been several years ago. And what I'm proposing is go to a tournament that is in Mesquite, Nevada. I've done some research on this, and one of the things, I guess some of the things that I have put down on here, why I would like to do that, is one, when I got looking at the rooms and the costs, if I was to go to Montrose, it's, and this is just a ballpark figure, of course, about $2,180 with the rooms and the expenses, the tournament fees and all that, whereas Mesquite would cost us roughly right around $2,042. So a little bit in savings there. If I go to Montrose, I only get 3 games out of that, whereas if I go to Mesquite, it does give me 4 games. And so with the 4 games, that would save in the future. That would give us an extra game so that if I was to go to Montrose, then I would have to schedule another game down the line with an added expense, you know, with the buses and that kind of thing. So that would give us the 4 games there. with the motel that I've looked into, there's a new sports ranch, or it's called the Rising Star Sports Ranch, that is down in Mesquite. We would not be staying at a casino, that is assured. Okay, so it's actually a couple of baseball coaches that were former baseball coaches in the state that have joined together and have come up with this. It's actually just a big motel. It's for families and teams, and they've got a bunch of things in the backyard. Like, they've got a full baseball diamond. They've got, you know, miniature golf. They've got some horseshoe pits and basketball and a pool and, you know, all the good stuff down there. But kind of friendly. So distance-wise, when I checked into it, we're only 20 minutes difference from going to Mesquite versus to Montrose. And going down there, we would play similar classifications that we're currently in. When I talked to the guy that was over that, he assured me we'd be playing mostly 2A schools that have entered in there now, like Enterprise, South Sevier, some of those teams that we'd be playing like in our own classification. They do have several Nevada teams that are signed up, but he said they're smaller classification schools and that we would do well and compete with them. So I don't see that being an issue, but that would be my my request, was just to change venues. I mean, we're out of state anyway, just to change the out-of-state venue from Montrose to Mesquite.
Would they be the same days of the week?
Exactly the same dates. We would leave on Thursday, just like we would on the Montrose tournament, and we'd return on that same Saturday. So it's the exact same weekend.
Can you still get in a tournament in Mesquite at this point?
I can.
No problem.
Yep, the guy has a position held for me, and so he's just waiting on me to give him a call tomorrow after tonight's meeting and let him know. I said, well, okay. So I don't know if you remember Steve Cramblett.
Yeah.
He was the Juan Diego coach. He's been in contact with me quite a bit. So he's the one that's kind of over this.
Okay.
So
I don't see any negatives, really.
I don't either.
I don't either. I've been to the Montrose tournament several times.
Well, and it's colder there.
I was just going to say that. Sometimes you can miss a game because of.
And we played in the snow last year. We literally was snowing on us, and the pitchers or the batters had a hard time seeing the ball, and we played right through it.
I think you remember getting rained out in Mesquite.
I remember that, and I was actually on the hill pitching. So it can happen down there, but it is a little bit warmer.
Yeah.
So.
I move that we approve the request of the change.
All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay.
Good luck.
Good luck to you.
Appreciate it. Thank
Bring
you.
Back a trophy.
Stay away from the casino.
My attention will be on the kids.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, consent agenda, the warrants and minutes from last meeting, as well as, well, let's just do those two. Warrants and minutes. Does anybody have any questions?
I called and got mine resolved.
I'm good.
I would make a motion then that we accept them as we have received them.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oh, the financial reports too, I should have. I was thinking that was bigger than just the normal financial report. We'll just include that in that motion, okay? The warrants, the minutes, and the financial report. Is everybody okay with the all
yes.
three of those?
I'm sure that's what he said.
Yeah.
Okay. And there were no dissenting votes. Okay, names for approval. Superintendent?
Yes, I submitted a list of names on the board bulletin. I thought maybe after last month that that list would go down, but it hasn't seemed gotten any smaller. But we do have quite a list of capable people for your consideration, beginning with Danny Tuttle at Huntington Elementary, half-day kindergarten teacher. This is through the academic pathway to teaching program recently approved by the state.
Now, Larry, that
yes.
replaces the ARL, right?
No, it's in addition to
in addition
the
to.
ARL, yes. They're both still in place.
Okay.
Kent Nelson, Green River High School full-time resource teacher. This is an ARL alternate route to licensure.
Okay.
Shanda Windy at Canyon View Junior High School full-time ELA teacher. She does have an English degree, but she does not have a teaching endorsement, so this is an academic pathway.
Okay.
Linda Nelson, Canyon View Junior High, 2-hour sub and part-time child nutrition program. Sabrina Ungerman at Huntington, 3-hour resource aid. McCade Hansen, Huntington, 3-hour ELL aid. Jackie Wild, Cottonwood Elementary, 3-hour preschool aid. Don Wynn, Farron Elementary, 3.9-hour preschool lead teacher. Brindy Grange, Farron Elementary, 3-hour preschool aide. Ashley Reyes, Bookcliff Elementary, and that is a 3-hour preschool aide. Cassie Thatcher, Cleveland Elementary, 3-hour class size reduction aide. Shaylee Bennett, Cleveland Elementary, 3-hour Lands Trust aide. Angelina Bailing, San Rafael, 3-hour Lands Trust aide. And then one addition, since you got the bulletin, Lindsay Torgerson, transportation aide on the Castle Valley Center bus.
Discussion?
Don't know very many of them. A few.
I know the ones from Huntington, and I think they'll do really well. The Trustlands aides,
yes.
they are year by year, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I make a motion that we accept those names and approve them.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
There is a note following those names about the openings that we still have available. So we're getting close to the end, hopefully. But we have some excellent people filling these openings.
Great.
And they've been highly vetted, hired by interview process in most cases.
Okay. Thank you, Superintendent.
You're welcome.
Now we have the elementary school citizenship policies. Our
yeah, that was interesting.
Bookcliff, want to go first, JR?
Sure. We revised the citizenship policy due to last year we had a lot of behavior issues that consumed a lot of our time outside of the classroom, which actually took away from the teacher's ability to teach. So I've come up with a new citizenship policy, which is aligned more with junior high schools, which isn't typical. school, Corning Elementary. So far I've had three that have worked off hours. In comparison to last year, that's a lot less than what we had in the office at this point in time. The point in doing this is to show them that not only character ed, but how to treat others is a definite issue within the classroom. You received a copy, you read through it. I'm open to discussion on whether or not this is too strict for this level of schooling, but at the same time, what I would like to achieve is more academics and less behavioral. And so, so far we have had less individuals in the office, frequent flyers, and the three individuals that have had to work off this time, I have not seen yet again. And they were three of the frequent flyers. So my hope in approving this is to focus more on the education and the academics and the in-class time that is more productive instead of dealing with behavior, to start dealing with academics. With grades coming out and school performance and stage, there's a high demand for performance. I'm not pleased with our grades, and I want to change that, and therefore this is somewhat been instigated prior to seeing what our school's doing. And so my hope is to improve not only the academics, but student interaction with each other, because it has been a major issue in the community that we're in. So my request is to have this policy approved. That way we can move forward with it and address it with the parents.
How do you plan to address it with the parents?
Well, I somewhat have already.
Okay.
They are aware that it is in the process of being approved. In our back to school night, I approached it.
Okay, that's what I heard.
I had absolutely zero comments on it, nor no positive, no negative, nothing, just like I did with the students. So I'm not exactly sure until one of their students are required to follow this policy. I may have backlash, I may have support. I'm willing to take that. The biggest part is academics right now and making sure that these students are receiving the education that they need. And if this is one way to achieve that, then I will address that professionally. But it has been presented to the parents, so.
Okay.
My personal feeling is kids tend to rise to the expectations that we give them. And I think that the expectations are not out of line at all. My one comment is I would like to see more emphasis in your policy on rewarding positive behaviors, for what it's worth. I wouldn't not vote for it because of that, but I think it would be.
Well, we just had a faculty meeting tonight, and that was one of the major issues that came up, is rewarding the ones that have earned and have done what they have needed to do. What we came up with tonight, just prior to me traveling down here, was to have activities that those students who have achieved that will be able to attend. Those who have not will obviously not be able to attend those, but it needs to be made clear your actions will have consequences, positive or negative. And so that is now in the works, and it will be a quarterly activity that will be arranged, and those who have complied to the policy will be rewarded in that aspect.
I think that would be good. I think that would add.
Okay.
Well, I'll make the motion that we approve it.
Okay.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Good luck, JR.
Thank you.
Matt Cottonwood. John.
Hello. We have a citizenship plan, but ours doesn't include that. I sat down and looked at the handbook that we currently had, and then Took the one that Melinda and I designed in Green River as part of our master's program and redesigned it to fit Cottonwood. Went through this, spent almost all last year as a faculty going through all the pages, changing things we felt that needed to be worded different, where we have a self-contained classroom, where, and I don't know how much of this you actually ended up with, but like in our student discipline, we reworded it so that it said if students are on IEPs, then this is the difference that would happen for these students. But I felt as a faculty, we really designed this as a faculty. So the citizenship plan you have in front of you was created through the faculty process, the vetting process there. And we feel like we have a pretty sound document to go forward with the parents that lays out clearly what the expectations are at Cottonwood Elementary School, both consequences, positive and negative. But we feel like there needs to be something in place because right now we don't have any set policies printed and given to our parents. And it's causing this issue, I feel, where they don't feel like we're being consistent. And we are, but it doesn't feel that way to them because they don't have it in print. So our hope is to have that approved so that we can get these printed and then we'll hand them out at our first parent-teacher conferences to the families so that each family has a copy of our entire policy book. So if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer concerns or questions regarding our policy book.
No dodgeball?
No dodgeballs. We've had so many broken noses.
Really?
Yeah, just in my years of teaching.
I was kind of sad to see that.
So.
Risk management would be comfortable with that.
Yeah.
True. But didn't you have lots of fun when you were a kid playing dodgeball?
I don't.
Is dodgeball prohibited within
no.
the district?
You can have.
I don't think it's
ball.
Prohibited. We just.
It
and
is
I actually have
one.
Some teachers that will at times play it if in a PE setting where they're more in control.
Structured.
But at recess time, it's absolutely not allowed just because
yeah.
it turns into a. I don't like that kid, so everyone starts. Mm-hmm. And that's one reason I don't like dodgeball to start with. The kids all pick on a kid. Help them.
Oh.
But I've seen a lot of bullying.
I haven't seen that.
Still takes place in PE classes.
But yeah, there are PE classes that play it. So, but I feel like under a teacher's direction, that's a different setting. So.
I will make the motion that we approve it.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Okay, thanks, John. All right, the reports. Jared, you first?
Yeah, two quick items. First, I think most of you are aware that one of the things we talked about in our negotiation meetings this year was some sort of an activity pass for our employees. And this last week, we've gotten those distributed out. You might see them. We'll actually get one for you as board members as well. But just to let you know, and Carrie Allred did most of the work on that, so just an opportunity for me to say thanks. And we'll see how it works this year. It's a pilot program, so to speak, and we'll see how it goes and make adjustments as needed for next year. But from what I've heard from employees, they're really happy and excited about it. Any questions?
Yeah, how are you doing it? How are you keeping
track? We talked
track
about
it,
a couple
yeah.
of different procedures. What did we end up with?
So there's a punch. That
okay, the punch
punched
card.
For each activity, as well as the people that are taking money
mm-hmm.
at the activities have a sheet that we created where they'll write down the employee's name and their guest if they
okay.
use a punch for their guest. And then they'll turn all of those sheets into the school secretary. She'll turn them into us, and then we'll verify all of those numbers.
So what was given to each employee? What, just one card or?
One card, 20 punches on it, and they can use it for themselves plus one
right.
guest.
That
or
would
just
be
for
two
themselves.
Punches, right?
Yeah. Maximum of 2 punches per event.
Julie.
And 20 total.
Very good. So then the person at the taking the ticket or doing the punching, they will keep track of like basketball, football.
Yeah.
All of gated sports.
So the sheet they have, they'll write the sport or the if it's for a play, you know,
right.
whatever. They'll write that at the top, write all the names and turn it in. So the secretary is going to gather all the sheets for that particular sport during the season, turn them all in, and then we can reimburse the school based on that.
Do you have
Yeah.
Also, the punch is different shaped
for each
sports.
Activity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought that's what we talked about.
We did not assign the flower shape to football.
Oh.
Darn.
That's for dodgeball.
Yeah. Or heart.
Julie.
I hope this really works, and I hope you'll spread it out to the public eventually. I have talked to Mr. Gillis for 3 or 4 years. When you're going to all those games, it would sure be nice if I could buy a pass at the end of the beginning of the year and through the year.
Yeah.
So anyway, something to think about. Just now that you're doing this with your faculty, maybe you can work out all the kinks, and eventually we can do that. Be great.
That's a possibility.
Okay, good input. Thank you.
It would be more convenient.
Yeah.
Okay, the second thing is just a brief report on our audit since it's going on this week. Thus far, everything's gone really well, and no major problems or findings or anything like that. Again, if any of you would like to come in and meet or visit with our auditors during the week, you're welcome to. They are friendly. So.
They're the ones we watched on the big screen last December or something.
Yeah, I think you missed the board meeting, though, when they dressed up in wigs for their report.
It was pretty funny.
Maybe we should go in with wigs on. Is it?
You go right ahead. I'll stand outside and applaud.
We'll invite the press if you do that.
There you go.
Okay.
But, yeah, let me know if you have any questions.
That's this upcoming week?
It's right now, this week.
Okay. Well, before we do the superintendent's report, we probably should do the principal's report. I don't have it on my agenda, but we're going to call on you now.
I want to say some things anyway, so just so that the board knows and that those that are here know. You already know that we've hired Mike Scow. He was transferred to our school from Farron as our custodian. He's doing a really good job. Works well, and just we appreciate him. And Tina Allred is now teaching fifth grade here, and so we're excited to have Tina with us as well. She's going to be a good addition. We're sorry to lose two of our good teachers to Canyon View, but that's okay. They'll do a good job up at Canyon View. And have Jody Citrus and Carl Jensen, and you've already heard about Cassie Thatcher and Shady Bennett. We're excited to work with them this year, and Shady's going to begin next Monday working with the students and the Trustland plan. And this year, we are involved in what's called an assessment to achievement program. We're working with the State Board of Education, and this is a program where we use SAGE data and other data that we collect here at school. We're going to use that information and use it to help our students progress, and we've chosen one area that is an evidence-based instructional strategy. That's the term they use now, and so that they found to be one of the most successful in helping kids learn, and that is feedback. So we want to be able to provide feedback to students and parents and all those that are involved in helping them learn the best they can, and so. That's what we're doing as far as assessment to achievement. That's going to require, we've already gone to some training back in the summer. We'll have 4 additional professional development days with our team here at school, which is, we have five of us that are working on that team. And then, of course, Ralph Worthen is working on the district team, and he's helping us that way. So we appreciate that support and that help. But the assessment to achievement program, and I mentioned this last year, but I'm going to mention it again because I think it's making a difference with our students. We are working on 4 R's for Cleveland Elementary, and I think it's important that those 4 R's are, first of all, rights. Students have a right to come to school and feel safe and to learn. Responsibility, because they have the rights, we have a responsibility to respect. There's the third R, the rights of other people. And then we do the 4th R, the teachers felt this was really an important one,
is recognition. So the fourth R is to recognize students for what they do. And we appreciate the paper, the progress for every week publishing, and when I send it to them, a picture of those students that we've recognized for the week. And we usually call them down to recognize them by providing a certificate and a pencil and take their picture. And I think that's making a difference in what we're doing here at Cleveland Elementary. Hopefully the students leave here remembering those four R's. But we appreciate the support that the board gives us, and thank you for your time.
Well, thank you, Principal Lockley. Cleveland's a great elementary school. We appreciate all you do here, you and your staff. All right, Superintendent Davis.
Yes, a couple of notes of appreciation, just to thank Laurel and Julie for their involvement in our opening institute. Laurel gave the welcoming address, and Julie led the teachers and others in the Pledge of Allegiance. And also Laurel represented the board at the USBE Delegate Assembly in August. I have some summary notes on that in your packet. I'll get to in just a minute. But she was there and did a fine job of representing our school district. Also, Roger Swenson informed me that the Transportation Department has once again won the Gold Award from the Utah Highway Patrol. This inspection was in August. The one we talked about before was a June inspection. But the results were pretty close, both gold awards, both with just minor infractions. So we're very proud of the Transportation Department. And another source of pride for the Emory District is we're launching our STEM education initiative and program throughout the district. USU Eastern is getting on board with that. And they have dedicated $10,000 to advancing our STEM education programs in the district. They've been very supportive right from the beginning. This donation will be part of the donation, the grant funding that we got from the STEM Action Center. And we are launching those programs this school year. So we'll be watching that closely. On the second page of your bulletin, a couple of other items to report on. District enrollment, first day enrollment. Ralph Worthen compiled the first day numbers, and there are two charts there. The first one is the one Ralph put together, and this includes some comparative data with what we had in SIS, the student information system, on enrollment. And that was compared with first day call-in numbers that we got from the schools. That would be those students that actually showed up on the first day. And you can see that there is a difference of 52 students from the called-in enrollment and the SIS enrollment. On the other side of that page is utilizing that same data is a comparison of first day enrollment a year ago. And that indicates that we are down only 20 students from a year ago. Again, that's first day data. There's still a lot of changing and shuffling and students who for whatever reason don't show up on the first day or may not yet be registered. So anywhere from that 52 negative number to the minus 20 negative number, we're down. But the comparative data with last year's first day enrollment across all of the grade levels, K through 12, does not really indicate any glaring concerns, at least as far as I'm concerned. In fact, there's growth in some grade levels, especially the secondary. So we appreciate Ralph for putting that information together. The handout on the delegate assembly that I mentioned, and Laurel attended. I was there as well, so I can speak to this. This is the priority list that came out of that from the Utah State Board of Education. And one thing of note, under the second bullet, no, excuse me, the third bullet down, is that the board is recommending full funding for regional service centers. There's been some concern about loss of funding towards service centers, but the delegate assembly stepped up in support of fully funding these regional service centers. These are very vital to rural areas. The Southeast Service Center serves Emory District, Carbon District, Grand District, and San Juan District. J.J. Grand is the supervisor of that. They're the ones that put together rural schools in the summer and training during the school year and provide a lot of resources and technology and professional development. So I was very pleased that the state board stepped up to support that. One other thing of note, there was a resolution passed by that body in support of opposition of the Bears Ears National Monument in San Juan County. There was a presentation on how that national monument, if approved and that enacted, how that would impact the schools and the funding for those schools in that district. And so by a pretty much unanimous vote, that resolution passed. Moving on to school.
Larry, could I just ask one question?
Sure.
So the line item categories, did they prioritize those in the order that they're, so was NEST money top priority, professional staff costs, are these prioritized?
These are prioritized, yes.
Okay.
They are in the priority.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Okay, the school report card, I gave you a copy of that. That was issued, I believe, last Wednesday. By Friday, it had been revised. You do not have the revised report card. Under state law, if so many schools in the state, a percentage of schools in the state is above a cut percentage, then the state lowers those grades. And I'll explain that a little bit further in a closed session. And the reason why is because this data is embargoed until September 15th, is it? And so it's not available to the public. And what I would propose also is that with our next school board meeting in October at Castledale Elementary, that we schedule a work session prior to that regularly scheduled board meeting. And we would invite Ryan to come in, and Ryan and I can break this down for you. It's going to take some time. There's a lot of data. By then, that data will be public. So any questions about that? Okay. The next item is the transgender restroom update. And as you know, the U.S. Department of Education, through the Obama administration, had ruled that the states needed to comply with the transgender restroom by providing restrooms to transgender students across the country. Stemming from that was a class action lawsuit filed by, I think, over 20 states, including Utah, challenging that ruling. And a federal judge in Texas heard that case recently, and as a result of that, he ordered an injunction against the Department of Education and enforcement of that. So right now, it's in litigation. We have told our school administrators to handle each case by case, but to be prepared to have a plan in place. Right now, the state is not requiring anything. We have not received a ruling on that. So we're proceeding, I think, proactively and in compliance with what right now is a legal mess. So any questions about that? Okay, new academic pathway to teaching. This is the APT program that I mentioned. It was approved right around the time school started, maybe a little bit before that. And the force behind it was a perceived teacher shortage, which is real in a lot of places. It does provide for someone with a bachelor's degree or higher to enter the teaching profession without having teaching certification. In order to do that, along with the higher ed degree, they need to pass the praxis exam, and that's about it. However, state law does say that boards, school boards, can also set their own list of requirements. We have discussed this, our administrative team, the district office, some ideas on what we think we can do to help teachers coming in, or non-teachers coming in, especially with classroom management skills and things like that. But I would also like to get input from our school administrators. So this will be on our administrative council agenda next week. We'll get additional input, and then I would like to put together recommendations for board consideration. And these would be things like professional development, new teacher training, those kinds of things that are readily available that we typically encourage, if not require, new teachers to participate in anyway. They'd be held accountable through the evaluation system under the provisional teacher part of the evaluation, to be evaluated twice a year. And that may not be enough for the alternate route, but we do have discussion going on now. So we'll prepare recommendations and get those to the board for further consideration. Any questions about that? Okay, a couple of other things. An update on some of our board committees. The Tech Committee, which is officially known as the Future Ready Leadership Planning Team, met recently. Unfortunately, Roy was in the hospital at the time, so we went ahead without you, Roy.
Yeah, thank you.
And it was an awesome meeting, not because you weren't there.
Only part of you.
We made a ton of progress from that meeting, and we feel like we're prepared to take our plan to the boot camp at Carbon District Office on the 19th and 20th, where the state office will vet our plan, give us input, suggestions, and then we'll take that back and prepare it for final submission October 7th. But I feel really good about where we're at with that. That's a $60,000 to $70,000 technology grant to our district this year, with the expectation of ongoing funding for at least the next 2 years. The SAGE testing and HB 20, this also has been dynamic. At no point was I aware that there were deadlines on this. We've been kind of taking it at a slow pace, as you know, especially you, Marie, since you're on that committee. But there is a deadline. Ryan was at the state office today and addressed this. He just found out about it today. It was added through an editing process that the state went through after they had issued the first draft of board rule, And then they went through an editing process. It was under review throughout most of July. And then it was formally adopted in August. And part of that editing included the addition of a deadline. That deadline is September 15th, which is not possible for us to, if we were to go ahead and approve removing 11th graders from SAGE testing, because it does require board approval. However, Ryan, in talking to the folks at the State Board of Education office today, feels like that there is some leniency on that.
There should be.
The mercy rule.
They stated proceed forward with our best guess, and they also said if things change, they may have to change. So we'll progress as it's been, and if we decide to change at that point, we'll work with the state then.
So the plan now is to get that meeting going. I have been getting input from principals, especially secondary principals, since they're the ones impacted primarily. So I think we've got data that we can use, and I'd like to schedule a meeting for the last week of September. If you'll check your calendar, Marie,
okay,
and see if you can make that work, and then we will make a recommendation to the board in the October meeting.
Okay.
Update on the regional meeting for the Emory and Carbon School Districts. This is the USBA, and this is part of their regional tour. The State Board is coming to the Carbon-Emory area on the 21st, and the board is invited to attend that. We had an email from an executive secretary with the board, and she needs to know as soon as possible how many board members will plan on going to that. It's a 6 p.m. meeting. It will be at the Carbon School District office in Price, 6 to 8:30. And I assume it includes a meal and update on the legislative priorities and things like that. So if you will check your calendars, and then we'll be in touch to see if you can make that or if you want to make that.
We received information. I'm planning on it.
I am.
Okay.
Too.
Me too.
Okay.
I am.
Okay. And we can assume Laura will.
She's usually
okay. There.
So we'll let them know that all of our board members, and are you going as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the whole crew, the whole team. Very good.
You said too.
True.
The magic word.
The dinner's usually good.
It usually is.
Okay, that's my report. Sorry it took so long.
Yeah.
Well, thank you
for beginning to walk.
Well, except you skipped over the district calendar. Or did I just not hear
district
that?
District calendar committee?
Yeah.
Oh, the calendar committee?
Yeah.
Oh. I've always forgotten.
Oh. Yes, the calendar committee is meeting on the 13th.
I see that.
And you're invited, Julie, since you're on the
committee.
Don't
on
make
that committee.
I'm not an official here. Okay.
I'm just messing with you. I skipped over that on purpose. And I do have, and I'll give this to you also in closed session, because this is part of the negotiated item. So I'll give you a preliminary 3-year plan. It's just for consideration.
Okay.
All
right.
In regards to that calendar, I did distribute that to the teachers today. Being on the committee myself, and I have received feedback from a few of the elementary teachers. I've been in contact with Yvonne, and she has supposedly been in contact with some of the secondary teachers as well, trying to get feedback on that. And so having that calendar will allow them to see the potential 3-year and then address any issues.
Yeah, thanks for doing that, JR. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comment?
All right, we can call for.
We have
we have any items, I think?
Yes.
Obviously one. I move we go into closed meeting for, do we have personnel or just negotiation?
Yes.
Items.
Okay.
I'll second it.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you for coming.
Kim, here's a copy.
What happened?
I sent one to Neil.
Now I'm beating out tonight, he didn't.
Is that why you were in the hospital?
Yeah.
You got stuck in a line of work.
Oh, thank you, I hadn't noticed, but thank you, Sheriff.
Oh, I'm bumping elbows.
Yeah, thanks for the enrollment information. It'll be interesting to see how it changes between now and October. What?